Afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the Internet at WDEO.net.
So cool.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at the first book of Samuel, this time chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. The Philistines gathered for an attack on Israel. Israel went out to engage them in battle and camped at Ebenezer, while the Philistines camped at Aphek. The Philistines then drew up in battle formation against Israel. After a fierce struggle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who slew about 4,000 men on the battlefield. When the troops retired to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord permitted us to be defeated today by the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the Lord from Shiloh, that it may go into battle among us and save us from the grasp of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh and brought from there the ark of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned upon the cherubim. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were with the ark of God. And when the ark of the Lord arrived in the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth resounded. The Philistines, hearing the noise of shouting, asked, "What can this loud shouting in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" On learning that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were frightened, and they said, "Gods have come to their camp." And they said also, "Woe to us, this has never happened before. Woe to us, who can deliver us from the power of these mighty gods? These are the gods that struck the Egyptians with various plagues and with pestilence. Take courage and be manly, Philistines, otherwise you will become slaves to the Hebrews, as they were your slaves. So fight manfully." The Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated. Every man fled to his own tent. It was a disastrous defeat in which Israel lost 30,000 foot soldiers. The Ark of God was captured, and Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were among the dead. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. Where had they turned away from the Lord? Where had they turned away? Where had the Israelites rejected the Lord? When, and there were many times when they turned away, and then they came back and repented, and then they went along well for a while, and then they turned away again. It's the same in our modern age. It's the same with us as individuals. We follow the Lord for a little while, and then it gets too burdensome or too boring or too hard, and we need to take a break. You can never take a break from God. But sometimes when we've turned away from Him too much, sometimes the suffering is a mystery, and there are occasions when you've done everything right and there's still a defeat. God has something better in store. Hang in there. But oftentimes when we are defeated in circumstances, we really need to have the courage to examine our own conscience. Was I following the Lord? Was I doing what God wanted? Or was I just doing what I wanted to do? Because oftentimes, as someone once said to me, God's judgment is allowing us to experience the fruit of our own decisions. Sometimes we can get ourselves into a very, very messy place. Very messy place. Because we don't obey Him. We choose our will over His. Let this example be an example to you and to me. Psalm 44, "Redeem us, Lord, because of your mercy. You've cast us off and put us in disgrace. You don't go forth with our armies. You have let us be driven back by our foes. Those who hated us plundered us at will. You made us a reproach of our neighbors. We're mockery and scorn. You've made us a byword. We're a laughingstock among the peoples. Why do you hide your face, forgetting our woe and our oppression? For our souls are bowed down to the dust. Our bodies are pressed to the earth." How many times could we pray that psalm? How many times in our lives have we come face to face with a problem or situation in our lives, that Psalm 44 certainly describes how we feel. This is where we have to come to Him and say, Lord, teach me. Show me where I'm wrong. Help me. Lead me in the way of truth. Rather than trying to justify and hide and cover up and all that, don't spend your energy that way. If you failed in something, take a good look at it. Where did I make a mistake? Had God asked anything of me that I ignored? Did I just blindly walk into sin and not fight against it? What did I do? Sometimes we can't find the answer. And then all we can say is, Lord, I just lay myself before you and ask that you would speak to me and teach me and lead me in the way you want me to go. But sometimes, many times, if we're really honest, we can see what it is we've done and why God has allowed, doesn't purposely do evil to us, but He allows us to experience, as I said, the fruit of our own decisions. And sometimes our decisions are, quite frankly, stupid. We have all kinds of reasons why we think they're wonderful, but they're actually stupid decisions. And oftentimes we have to bear the fruit of that. So there's a lot of lessons in here, brothers and sisters. There's just a lot of lessons. So our prayer needs to be, redeem us, Lord, because of your mercy. Redeem us from our own sin. Redeem us from eternal death. Redeem us because of your mercy. The gospel for today, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 to 45. A leper came to him and, kneeling down, begged him and said, if you wish, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, I do will it. Be made clean. The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Now, remember how important this is. If you had leprosy, you couldn't get near anybody. You were just cut off socially. You were left alone, totally alone. Family, everybody. Nobody could come near you. Jesus came near. See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them. The man went away. Notice Jesus said, see that you tell no one. The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. You remember, as we've spoken about it a number of times, you remember why Jesus said, don't tell anyone. He was trying to retain, from a human perspective, retain his freedom as long as he could. But the bigger the crowds got, the more difficult it was for him to move among those that he knew he should heal. And it also brought him much more quickly to the attention and the jealousy and the anger of the leaders of the people of Israel. And Jesus knew that before. That's why he said, don't tell anybody. But people just, it was miraculous, and they were cured of this or cured of that. And it wouldn't have taken long for people to find out, I'm sure. But at the same time, people really didn't listen to Jesus. He had a reason, you know, why he wanted the ability to move about still freely and to be able to reach as many people with the gospel. But people couldn't contain themselves, and so it made it much, much harder for the Lord. There are many, many, many stories about the lepers, many of them. But one of the things that I want to ask you is, when you experience in your life an answered prayer, something has happened and it's something you've prayed for a very long time, something that you wish had happened and it just doesn't happen. And it's hard and it's painful. And so when that does get answered in some way, how quickly do you return to the Lord to give thanks? How quickly do you turn to Him, or do you run around telling everybody else, and, oh yeah, God, thanks, by the way? Every one of us needs to develop a grateful heart. I know I need much more gratitude in my life for all that God does for me, for all that God has done and will do. I need to develop more a spirit of gratitude. I said yesterday about saying to the Lord, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." Let that be your cry. But also, another part of it would be, during the course of the day, "Lord, thank you that meeting went well. Lord, thank you for bringing me in contact with this person. Thank you that I was able to do this with one of my children. Thank you that this situation got straightened out in the workplace." Thank him. Thank him. You know how it is with humans. When somebody thanks us, our hearts are just more open toward them. When the gratitude is sincere, something happens in your heart and you want to do more for them. Well, I know God is God and God is not a human being, but God did create us. And I think there is in the heart of God such a beautiful response when he sees us grateful, when he sees us turning to him often throughout the day, when he experiences us just sometimes, you know, for me, it's just a look kind of in the direction of where I think he is, though he's everywhere. But I feel sometimes I just look at him and it's more just like a silent thank you. But I know he hears it loud and clear. There's so many blessings that God wants to give us. But how often do we render thanks? How often do we come back to him? I really would ask you, I've been in the last few days, I've been asking a lot of questions of you. Take time to examine your conscience. Take time to position yourself in the day of what you're going to recall in the day of who God is or how kind God has been. A spirit of gratitude, a spirit of petition, bringing your needs to God. Don't just, you know, stick them all on your heart and have your heart so weighed down. Bring them to him. Bring them to him and leave them with him. I don't mean you don't think or ponder or try to figure out a solution, but you're not the only one, and you have the King of heaven and earth who wants to help you find a solution. So come to him with gratitude. Come to him with petition. Bring your needs to him first before you go to anybody else. Bring him, as I said, thanksgiving. Bring him your dilemmas. Bring them to him. It's not up to you alone to figure them out. Jesus is your Savior. He's your God. He loves you. And he cares about every need we have. Even if our need seems very small, he cares about us. He cares. Really cares. Please bring your needs to him. Please turn to him in the silence of your heart. Turn to him during the day. Turn to him before you pick up a new piece of work that you have to do in a given day. Just say, "Lord, thank you for being my God. Thank you for being my Father. Here I am, Lord. I am your servant. Help me. Show me. Teach me." God loves to hear that. And as he hears it, a personal relationship with him begins to grow and mature. And you will have confidence, not because it's something you made up, but it's because you brought to God what he most wants from you: your gratitude, your petition, your sonship, your daughterhood. May God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet,